I'm going to ask that you would turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. That's where we're going to get started this morning. Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm actually going to read verse 16. No, 15 and 16. And as you're doing that, I'm going to catch everybody up. And I know that every week I've done this massive review, this extreme review. And it's for some, it may get repetitive and old, but for those who haven't been here, it's their opportunity to catch up. And I've learned that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if I hear His Word multiple times, then it strengthens my faith. And I've also learned that I'm a slow learner. And so I like to hear things multiple times so that I can actually take in what's being said. So here's where we're at. We defined what is community. We said, okay, what is this thing of community? Because we've stated that we want to build community. We want to be community builders. So what does that mean? Well, community, if you take the word down and break it up, it talks about this common unity. It talks about something that we have in common. So we come together in unity around something that we have in comedy. And comedy. We could do that. Anyway. We come together around something that we have in common. Now, how many of you know that you can actually come around something that is not of God and that tears down instead of builds up? I mean, it's possible that you can be in unity around something that you have in common that is really no good. It's bad for you. It's bad for others. It tears down the community as opposed to building it up. So what we want to do is we want to come together around what we believe when it comes to who God is and what He wants for us and what He wants for the community that we live in. And so we are a community of believers. That's why a belief system is something that you can gather around. Or maybe it's a need or a cause. For example, there are people who are coming together in community to help those who were hit by hurricanes. And they had wildfires, earthquakes. You go down the list, they're coming together in humanitarian aid in community to try to help with those particular needs. Maybe it's just that we live in the same area. We have that in common. So we come together around this thing that we are all from, Maury County or Williamson County or Columbia or the city that you live in. But what you have to learn is this: we have to begin building exactly where we're at. You have to start where you're at. In order to do that, we have to open our ears and listen to what other people are really saying. To see if we actually have this in common. To see, because I think so many times we have more in common than we know. We just won't stop and listen to one another. Like, we have so much more in common than we actually realize. We just won't stop and listen to each other. The reason that we had that panel discussion in the last hour, and this is me being completely honest, is I put a post out on Facebook, and I typically don't do this, but I got caught up in the wave, allowed myself to do something that I said I'd never do, and I did it, and I was wrong. I don't mind admitting that. I don't mind confessing that. The reason I put a post out, and the reason it was wrong was this. I just didn't know why I was wrong. The reason it was wrong was there was no solution. What's the sense in putting something out there that only creates more division but doesn't bring about an answer or a solution? And it was really cool because I had a couple of people who responded back and they stated that more or less. And what we ended up doing is we had healthy conversations. Healthy conversations. And we were able to talk our way through it and realize that it's so hard to hate somebody when you get to know them. When you really get to know them, when you really get to know what's going on in their life and in their heart, but can I tell you, that's the hard work. That's building. It's easy to tear down. It's easy to be part of the demolition crew. It's easy to come through. And listen, there are some, at a national level, there are voices that are screaming at us constantly to join in. And the real question is, can we do anything about those things that are going on at a national level? Not necessarily, but we can do something right here in our own front yard, backyard, whatever you want to call it. We can do something right here. And that's what I loved about it. It was at the end, we were able to say, we have solutions. We're going to sit down with key leaders in our community, and we're going to talk about these things. I'm excited about it. I mean, that's the way it should be, right? We're going to sit down with key leaders in our community. We're going to talk about it. Why? Because we want to build. We don't want to be a part of the tearing down. We don't want to be a part of the demolition and the destruction, because there's plenty of that going on. And as a church, as the body of believers, that's what we're called to do, is to work together to build community. So I don't mind admitting, because I learned something this week. We can learn from our own stupidity. Can I get an amen about that? Right? But you got to begin where you're at, and you have to know where you're at. For example, you have to know the place. You have to know the position. You have to know the people. The place is the location where you currently are. It's just the surrounding area. The position is the authority that you have to do anything about it. And sometimes I think that's where we get frustrated. But what we don't realize is we can do something right here. We can. We can actually have conversations right here that break down the barriers. And then we also have to get to know the circle of influence. Today, can I tell you, because of the ones that I was talking with, Marquita and Corey, because of the conversations that we've had over the last week, one, we've grown to love each other so much more. But in addition to that, with the issues that they're struggling with, the issues I'm struggling with, all of us now have joined together our circles of influence, which means we've increased our circle of influence. Are you listening? I mean, that's what every person that we truly get to know and become a part of their life, then ultimately it expands that circle of influence and the opportunity to speak into the problem. But can I tell you, I'm sick and tired of finger pointing about the problems. Who's going to find some answers? I mean, that's what we're looking for. Is we just need to, God, give us wisdom to find answers. And the post was really more finger pointing than it was trying to look for solutions. And so that's why I'm like, all right, delete that. Get rid of that. Don't have time for that. Why? Because we're going to be about building. And the way we're going to be about building is we all know there's problems. We all know that. I don't even know that we completely know what the real problem is. But if we sit down and actually start to talk about it, there really are problems, yes. But don't come to the table without desiring a solution. Because some people just like to be mad. That's their problem. Right? That's their issue. Some people just want to be mad. Let's quit just wanting to be mad. And let's look for a way to love each other and find some solutions. Community builders will focus on unity around interests that build others up. And as a church, you know, the scripture talks about in Nehemiah 2:17, it said, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. Derision literally means contemptuous ridicule or mockery. And I know some of y'all have already heard this. You've probably heard it three times, but let's let this sink in. It's contempt, ridicule, and mockery. How many of you want the church to be looked at that way? We don't want the church to be looked at that way. So in order for it to not be looked at that way, we have to be unified around the things that matter. The things of God. Unity creates community. Listen, I went this last week, was blessed to be asked to come as a representative for you at the Board of Education. I went to, they had the meeting for the Board of Education. It was a packed house. I don't know why. I guess people actually come to those meetings. It's a packed house. I came in, and they called us up to the front, myself and a couple of other church leaders that were a part of Serve Sunday. They asked us to come up and then asked me to explain what Serve Sunday was. I didn't know that I was going to have to say something, so I just kind of fumbled through it. And he said, in your explanation, you said you did a few things. Let me read off what you did. And he read every single school, every single project that you all did on Serve Sunday, and it took probably over 10 minutes. And then can I tell you, that whole room stood up to their feet and applauded the work that you're doing. That's community building. That is when we come together to do things for the sake of our community and to build others up. And they recognize, see, this isn't derision that they saw. They saw unity on Serve Sunday. They saw a body of believers that were willing to work together, even from other congregations, come together to work in this community. Why? Because they want to see things bettered where they live. And then there's the whole thing of opposition, when opposition comes. Not if, when. Why? Because it will come. We need to remember that our battle is not against that other person. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. So regain your focus and don't attack the other person. When opposition comes, don't believe the lies. Don't battle without God. That's what I learned this week. Before I responded to anything that was going on, I just said, okay, God, what would you have me do? And can I tell you, it turned out a whole lot better than if I would have done it myself. A whole lot better than if I would have just done what my flesh was saying to do. We wouldn't have found healing and restoration. I would have messed it up in a major way. But because we cry out to God and ask Him for solution, He gives us the things to say. So, y'all want to build together? Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 6, 15 through 16. We've done 3 weeks of building. And it says here that they've actually finished the wall. Verse 15, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul. In 52 days, that's how fast they built this wall. In 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, now I want you to listen to this. All of the enemies heard of it. All of the nations around us were afraid. And they fell greatly in their own esteem. They lost their self-esteem. For they perceived this work had been accomplished with the help of who? God. See, that's what I want to be said of us as a church. As we're building, I want people to look and go, they could not have done that without Him. They could not have done the things that have been done. God opened doors that nobody else could have opened. God established relationships that no one else could have established. This happened because God was in it. That's my prayer. So when the wall was finished, the enemy, do you see that their perspective has changed? They were at first thinking, they'll never get this done. It'll never happen. Blah, blah, blah. They just went down the list of things. They're a bunch of losers, right? I mean, if you read through it, you see, but they kept building in their section. They just kept building their section. And don't forget, don't despise the dung gate. Somebody had to build that gate. And so they're building in the section that God's called them to. And when it was all said and done, they all looked up from the work and went, wow, it's all done. Why? Because everybody was focused on the work that God had called them to in the area that they were called to be in. So don't despise the area that you're in. You work where you're at, the best of your ability, and you build today. Don't listen. Don't wait till tomorrow. No more excuses. Are you done with excuses? I am. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's build today, right now. Because there's a future generation, your children, grandkids, whatever, they need you to build. They need me to build. And listen, when we were sitting on this stage, we had this dialogue between us. I had actually put out a message to Marquita and said, hey, you know what? Let's just talk about this. Will you call me? She called me. I was blown away. Like, she actually called me. You know what she told me? She said, I expected when I called you for us to never talk again. She said, I figured I was going to call, give you my peace of mind. Right? And then when it's all said and done, we don't have to talk anymore because I've said what I need to say and I'm out of here. Well, when we started to talk, I realized that her issue had less to do with her, Corey, the same thing, less to do about, and it had more to do with the next generation being concerned for their own kids. I mean, so many times we think that people are having issues because of their own selfishness, but really and truthfully, each one of us desire for the next generation to have it better than we did. And that was one of their biggest issues, was they wanted the next generation to have it better than they do. And I'm not talking about entitlement, because that's not the discussion that we had. They had sincere issues, and I had sincere issues. And when it was all said and done, we hurt each other and realized, you know what, it's really hard to be mad at each other when we really do have, we've taken the opportunity to get to know each other. So the wall is built and the enemy falls. You know, it's interesting because the higher the wall gets, the lower the enemy. It's like the empowerment starts to leave. And you know what I saw this morning? I saw the Lord break the back of an enemy. I watched it happen as a lady was up here crying, just weeping to God because of things that she'd been dealing with. And in this moment, I watched it break. And it wasn't because of anything we did. It was because of what God was doing. I want more of that, y'all. We want the enemy to be afraid. We want to weaken his esteem and for God to get the glory. Are you with me? Let's look at Isaiah 58, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through Isaiah 58, and I'm just going to kind of give you some thoughts as we do this. I don't know how many of y'all like your outlines to be perfect, like 3 points and some subs and a few illustrations. Anybody like that in the house? This message is not for you. I just want you to know, because that is not going to happen. As I was praying about this, I can do that, Jim and I are friends. So listen, as we're looking at this message, there's a few things that I grasped out of this week, just some practical things that we can learn. But in addition to that, I want us to really, would you do me a favor? Would you just really listen to the words of this? Because see, here's what I know. I don't need to preach this. I just need to read it to you and let it preach. So if you would lean in, and instead of this time going, this is the part of the message where I fall asleep when the pastor reads. If you would not do that this time, I really would appreciate it, because this is the message. This is it. This is the core right here. Isaiah 58, cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people. Give a prophetic word, Isaiah. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Now, what I want us to do right now is to say to the nation that we love, the United States of America, fill it in right there, to the U.S. of A, their sins. Are y'all willing to do that? Because this scripture can speak to us today if we'll allow it. Listen to this. Yet they seek me daily. They're actually doing their quiet times. And delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. And then they ask this question, why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you don't take notice, or you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the days of your fast. Now he responds to their fast. He says, in the days of your fast, you seek what? Your own pleasures. I don't know how many of y'all have ever done this before, but have you ever fasted to get what you want? All right, so I'm the only dirty, rotten scoundrel in the room, obviously. And sometimes we do that. We seek after something for ourselves in that. It says, you seek your own pleasure and oppress your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight. Get this, and to hit with a wicked fist. They must be hangry. What do you think? Fasting like yours this day, it will not make your voice to be heard on high. We fast for a reason. Is such the fast that I chose, or that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Why? It says, will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? See, what God wants of us is a life acceptable to the Lord. I can prove that because it says it in Romans. It says to be living sacrifices, which is hard. It's hard. But he's saying it's not just about taking one day to get what you want. It's saying, all right, I'm willing to surrender myself to you. And whatever it is you want to do in my life, I can surrender myself to my hurt feelings, to my insecurities. I'm done with those. I'm going to die to those. I'm going to focus the pleasures that I desire, the wants, the wishes that I have. I'm going to focus on you and you alone. God, do something in this. Would you bring a resolve? Can I tell you one of the greatest things that I've done as a human being? Was to turn the TV off. One of the greatest things I've done as a follower of Christ over the last 2 months was to turn the TV off. You don't know why? Because I realized I wasn't listening to God. In the midst of that, I'm going, all right, I watch TV and I would binge. Like, I would watch a whole season on Netflix. I just figured if the TV started it over again, that God was saying, one more, Eric. You know where it says countdown 17 seconds. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't play. You know what I'm saying. And it would start over and go to the next one. I'm like, well, I must need to watch another one. And do you know the creativity of those people that are doing those seasons? They put you on the hook at the end of every single one. And then when they put you on the hook, you go, but I gotta watch the beginning of the next one. Because if I watch the beginning of the next one, then I get an idea of what they left me on the hook about on the last one. And I know y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but this happens to me. And then I realize I just watched another one. And they left me on the hook again. And I realized how creative these writers were and realized that I would even say, man, I could have written that. Thanks for the assurance. See, I was like, I could have written that. But then I realized I wasn't using any of my own personal creativity because I was living vicariously through everybody else's creativity. And then when I turned the TV off, I went, what? I can be creative too. And I'm saying that because when it comes to this whole thing of fasting and focusing and all of that, God is desiring he's yearning for our attention. He desires our attention. And out of that, he says, is not this the fast that I chose? I'm going to explain it to you. This is what a fast looks like: to loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? I mean, if you want to fast, serve somebody. I'm telling you, the next revival won't be in a revival service. It will be a revival of service. And bring the homeless, poor, into your house. When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then this is what happened. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing, anybody want some healing? Shall spring up speedily, quickly, fast. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. I hear so many people misquote that passage. That scripture, because they take it out of this context. If you're going to quote that, quote it in its context. That's all I'm saying. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. When it's attached to this whole thing of a true fast, it says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Anybody want some of that too? And you shall cry and he will say, here I am. Now, this is where it gets personal. If you'll take away the yoke from your midst, the finger pointing. Hello? The pointing of the finger. If you'll quit pointing your finger at each other and saying, problem, 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 problem. And speaking wickedness. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. Listen, I want you to look at me real quick. What would happen if the darkest part of your day, the darkest part of your light, the gloom of your life was as bright as noon? That's as dull as it gets is noon. Because that's what it says right here. Your gloom will be as the darkest part of your day will be as the noonday. That's the kind of life I want to have. That kind of brightness. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in the scorched places. Anybody in a scorched place? And make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. Now, if you were taking a nap during the first part of this passage, I'm going to ask you to wake up right now. If maybe you drifted off for a second, I want you to come back for this particular part because this is so, so important. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. Anybody know that there's rubble all around us? Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Anybody want that for their kids? Anybody want that for their grandkids? Anybody want that for the generations to come? Because I do. It says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. There is a hole in the wall, security, security, security. There's an issue here, and we can do something about it. We can breach that and have protection for the generations to come. The restorer of streets. That's your neighborhood. That's my neighborhood. That's the place you live. The restorer of the streets. You know how I know that? It says to dwell in. Now, you may not be impressed with this, but I am. May not ring a bell for you, but it does for me. Because one of the things that we have to work on is getting past the finger pointing and starting to do the things that God wants us to do, and that is to build in this community. We feed those that are hungry, love on those that need it. I'm telling you, reach out to those. There are people who are desolate. They're dying. They're going to a place called hell. They need a Savior. They need eternal life. And we get so caught up in the loud noises. There are people that are yelling so, so loud. This is what I realize. It's not just two different perspectives. It's multiple perspectives that are yelling at us as loud as they possibly can. And some of us are just standing in the middle. We're frustrated. We're afraid. We have true feelings that are rising up, and we don't know what to do with it because we're being bombarded constantly. And if we don't get people around us who are speaking truth into our life, if we don't start speaking truth into other people's lives and we start partnering together to build right here, then we will continue to be caught up in the noise. But we can build right here. And one day we're going to look and see it's all built and everybody's going to go, wow, where'd that come from? How'd that happen? These are just practical things that I grabbed this week. The loud voices, y'all know this, are feelings, frustrations, and fears. They're real. And they're screaming. But we have to seek after truth and quit believing the lies. And another thing is, do you realize every single one of us have prejudice? Well, I didn't think you'd talk about that. It's the truth. Every single one of us have prejudice. Every single one of us has filters. We have filters in our minds and our hearts, and we have to do something about the filters in order for us to hear truth. And what I found, a lot of those filters and prejudice were even changed this week by having one or two more conversations with people who were incredible people. And guess what? You know what I found out? They love Jesus too. They truly love the Lord. They listened to me. Understood. I listened to them. Understood. There were things that they were dealing with I had no idea. But because we talked, we were able to get through that. See, here's what happens. All of these voices and stuff, they fuel the frenzy. Do y'all ever feel like it's coming unraveled? Yeah, sometimes. So what we have to do is not be a part of the frenzy. We just get focused on building where we're at. Here's what I want to become. See verse 12? A rebuilder, a repairer, and a restorer. That's what I want to do. I want to become one of those, or all of those, actually. Be a part of rebuilding the ancient ruins, raising up the foundations of many generations, repairing the breach, and restoring the streets. But in order to do that, I'm going to have to filter in a different way. And here's what I'm filtering. My mind, my mouth. What? And my motives. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Hopefully you won't hate me for it, but that's all right. If you do, come talk to me later and I'll explain. But here's the deal. When I posted what I posted, I had real reasons for it. But you know what I found in the motives is I just really enjoyed when everybody liked my post. That's a bad motive. That's an awful motive. That's not of God. That's why I apologize to you for being ignorant. Because when it comes to posts, listen, when it comes to anything that we put out there, I want you to listen to me. Anything that we put out there. And what's cool is, like I said, when I had the conversation, they totally understood where I was coming from after we talked about it. But here's the issue. The issue isn't so much where we're coming from. The issue is what was said had no resolution. There was no resolve. All it did was feed the frenzy. So we have to check our motives. We got to check what's going on in our mind. And let's face it, sometimes we just need to filter what we say. And I would put the whole mouth in the category of what we say on social media too. Because in a lot of ways, it's become our mouthpiece. We use it as a way to verbalize what we're thinking. Maybe that filters more about the mind, I don't know, but we have to do a better job of filtering because really it comes down to two choices that we can make. Selfishness or love. There's two choices. Y'all are looking at me like you're dazed and confused. I hope you agree. I really do. I hope you do. And I hope you'll do something else right now. Listen, if you have feelings stirring up in you about some controversy that's going on in this nation, then you are dealing with the problem right now inside of you too. Listen to me. This is so important. God's working on every one of our hearts today. Why? Because He wants us to be a part of the answer, a part of the solution, a part of building. And in order to do that, we're going to have to change the filters. And that's my prayer, is that God breaks all the chains that are holding us back from seeing healing happen and restoration. Anybody want to see some healing for our nation? I do. So here's the deal. We can actually understand each other when we get past our fears and frustrations and feelings. And this is it. We did so much better when we just focused on the facts. Just focus on the facts. We did so much better when we did that. Because it brings a clear conversation. It can actually be healthy and building. Now, here's what I know. Here's what I know. I'm going to ask that y'all give me one more second. Here's what I know. I know that each one of us has feelings that well up within us. And the deal is, I have not, I don't know if you've noticed this, but in this message, I have not once discussed any specific issue in the nation. Would you agree with that? Not once have I said anything about any specific issue, but in your minds and in your hearts, you possibly tagged what the issue was. Because it's something that you have emotions about, you have feelings about. There's something that you're struggling with when it comes to the tension in this nation. And what I want to ask you to do is this. Ask God how you can be a part of the solution. Instead of focusing on the issue, ask God for answers to resolve the issue. And if inside of you, you're saying to yourself, I have a right to be mad, so leave me alone. The answer is yes, you do. Every one of us has a right to be mad. We can carry that to our grave if we want to. But do you want that to be the legacy that you live by? I walk through life angry. Because can I tell you, your light won't shine like the noonday sun. If you just think, well, I'm just going to walk around in the anger and the frustration and never look for the solution, your light won't shine like the noonday sun. Would you pray with me?